Have you ever been told that someone is looking for you? Maybe when you were a student at school, somebody said, hey, somebody is looking for you. That always scared me. I always thought, well, I'm about to get in trouble again. And then we think about people that say that. Have you seen so-and-so? This individual is looking for you, trying to find you. Have you been told over and over that somebody is looking for you? Perhaps maybe on your job, someone will walk up and say to you, hey, the boss is looking for you. And you kind of tighten it up a little bit and prepare for whatever he or she wants to talk to you about. Maybe you're there at a shopping mall and you see someone else that you know, and they look at you and tell you, hey, so-and-so's been looking for you. And it makes you wonder. It's kind of intriguing to think, well, I wonder what they want with me. Perhaps you're at a family reunion and you're just sitting there and someone walks up and says, hey, so-and-so's been looking for you. Once again, pretty intriguing. We began to wonder and our curiosity begins to grow. Maybe you're there at a funeral home and someone walks up and tells you someone is looking for you. Or maybe you're at a wedding chapel. But have you ever been told maybe those words even with a voice of urgency that, hey, somebody is looking for you? Maybe you're hearing it with a voice of authority that someone is looking for you. How do you react when someone tells you, seriously speaking, how do you react? And what's some of the first things that you think about when someone walks up and says, someone is looking for you? I can tell you today that there is someone looking for each and every person in this assembly today, and I can tell you who it is. If you have a cell phone, say amen. Amen. So you all know who it is that's looking for you. It's that person from India that's trying to check on your car warranty. That is the person, I assure you, that is looking for every single person. And I say that, but to say this, that somebody is looking for us. And I say that just a little bit as a joke, but I know with my cell phone it seems to be nonstop, and we understand that your car warranty has expired, et cetera, et cetera. And I get so aggravated about it, and I just can't stand it. And I've been blocking every number, and then my telephone is now full of all these blocked numbers. But I began to think about that, and a little bit of a lesson in that, if we look at it a little bit further than that. Wouldn't it be great today if us, as children of God, as Christians, that if we were that aggressive about reaching the lost, amen? Wouldn't it be great if we were that aggressive about calling other people and saying, hey, God loves you and so do I? I want to tell you today, seriously speaking, that someone is looking for you besides the car warranty people. Someone is looking for you besides maybe the debt collector. I want to let you know today that our God, Almighty God, and the Son of God, Christ Jesus himself, is looking for you and he's looking for me. Amen? He's looking for us to make sure that we are doing what he's calling us to do. When someone is looking for us, for the most part, as I said, it's somewhat intriguing, then it creates, as I said, a lot of curiosity. And we find ourselves now looking for them to see what they wanted. I remember many, many years ago, you could walk into a post office and you would see it fixed there up on the wall. For the people my age, the younger people probably don't remember this, but it had a poster of Uncle Sam and it says, Uncle Sam is what? And looking for you or watching you. And no matter what side of the poster, I remember Dad would send me in there for stamps, and that poster scared me to death. I didn't like it. I thought there was something wicked about it. And I found out it's government. It is wicked. And so it had Uncle Sam pointing, and no matter what size, so I would go in and try to walk around it, but he would keep pointing at me. And then the eyes, I would look, and he would go back the other way. So I'd go down, and he would drop down. So I thought, well, the only way to fix this is tear the poster off the wall and burn it, in which I did. And then I found out that's defaming property. So anyway, I guess he's still looking for me this very day. But Uncle Sam looking for a few good men. You remember that when it talked about that in the military sense, trying to find people to go into the military. Do you remember as a young child? Do you remember, and I know we've done it here in the church building too, they've got a different name for it now. They turn off all the lights and try to find people. But as a child, what was that called, Ashley? Burial in the dark? Oh, murder in the... Well, that's not much better. I was thinking burial in the dark. Well, that's a little heavy. No, it's not burial. It's a murder in the dark. But anyway, do you remember as a child playing a game called hide and go seek? Do you remember that? Or lost and found? You know, someone would act like they were lost, and your job, Courtney, was to go find them. And if you find most of them, then they have to, you know, fix you a dessert or whatever the deal was. But we played those games about going and looking for other people. This morning, I want to talk with you about something that's not a game. I want to talk with you about something that's not a joke, like the warranty situation. I want to tell you something that should be taken extremely serious, because your response to this, or your lack of response to this, will determine your destiny. Do you understand that? Are we pretty clear so far? So I want to make sure that we understand you have to respond to what I'm talking about. Let me begin by first telling you that God does not wish anyone to go to hell. Do we understand that? It is not God's desire that any of us should perish, but that we all should have eternal life. Does that make sense to everybody today? So I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Peter, if you don't mind. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, and drop down and look at verse 9. God's word says these words. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering," God's word says, "toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to" what? "That all should come to repentance." If you take a look at the book of Luke, chapter 13, down around verse 3, and also verse 5 says the same thing. The Bible says, "I tell you nay, but unless you repent, ye will all likewise perish." So friends and family, I've got great news for you today. God himself is looking for you. Do you understand that? He's looking for you. God is looking for his children. He wants every one of his children to dwell with him for eternity in a mansion that his son and our Savior is preparing for every one of us. I feel confident that you've got your scriptures with you today. So we're going to look at John chapter 14. We're going to look at 2 and 3, a passage that we consider quite often because of its vast importance. John chapter 14, looking down in verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, "In my Father's house are many" what? "If it were not so, I would have told you." And Jesus says, "And I go there for" what reason? Thank you, Teresa. "To prepare a place for you." And go to 3. And Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be" what? "There you're going to be also." That means that we're going to be there together with Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to be there with God in the heavenly host. God is looking for you, and he's looking for me. Let's make sure that he knows exactly where we're at. Amen? Let's make sure that we're doing what God is calling us to do. The beauty of all of this is that God is not, listen to me, he's not playing a child's game of hide and go seek. He's not playing a little game called lost and found. God is truly seeking you and me. He's wanting to make sure that we come home. We must remember, before we go any further in our lesson, that God built you and me, and he gave us some intelligence, didn't he? Every single person in this room, every accountable human being that is assembled, has a certain level of intelligence. Well, what does that mean? That means he made us a people of choice. We choose whether we serve God or not. Does that make sense? I'm talking about the accountable individuals. It is up to you and me. You hear me talk quite a bit about Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, where the Bible says, "The Lord is my and I shall not want." He is your shepherd, but you have to choose him to be your shepherd. Amen? We're not just automatically, he's not automatically leading us once we become at the age of accountability, knowing right from wrong. So let me advise once again, brothers and sisters, to make sure that we are found by God, that we are found by Jesus Christ, that we have Christ Jesus dwelling in us, and that our every move should be toward the righteousness, and we should be living our life to glorify God in everything we say, in everything we do, in all of our actions, and in all of our reactions. Amen? It should be because of our love for our Heavenly Father. God is looking for you, and he's looking for me to represent him the right way. He's looking for you and me to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to be spokespersons, to be a walking witness of Jesus Christ. Does that make any sense? All right. So this morning, God is looking for you. And let me ask you a question. Are you hiding from him? And only you can answer that. Sometimes we may be here in the physical sense, but spiritually we can be far from God. Did you know that that can happen? You know, you can be surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You can be surrounded by a whole bunch of people that are Christians, and you might be lost as last year's Easter eggs. The reality, what I want us to make sure we understand is this, is that God wants all of us and desires all of us to come home, doesn't he? He wants the prodigal to come back home. He wants the Christian to stay home, doesn't he? So I want to make sure today that you know that no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter today if you're not a Christian, God is looking for you, and he wants every one of us to be home with him. As a parent and as a grandparent, even to this day, Jerry is 39 years old. Amy's like 20. And the reality is, how'd you like that, Amy? But even today with my grandchildren and all that, I know this may sound a little silly and maybe I'm overprotective. And Amy and I had some struggles when they first got together. She said, "You're way too protective." I said, "Well, I'm sorry for loving people that much." But the reality is this, when I hear a siren, is anybody else guilty of this? You begin to wonder and you think, "Man, I hope everything is okay. Thank you, Darlene, for you and me understanding. We ain't worried about the rest of them." The reality is I can hear a siren in the neighborhood and I'll call Jerry and say, "Is everything okay?" Just to put, because I'm selfish, and I want to make sure that my family's okay, but I want to put my mind at rest. You know what? No matter what, we love our children, and I've said that to say this, God loves his children as well. Does that make sense? God loves us, and he wants his children home. How nice is it on the holidays to have your family there? Two people said it was pretty cool. The rest of them said, "I don't care." How nice is it to have your family there? Amen? It's very nice to have your family there. Well, how do you think God feels? Why do we alienate God? Why do we separate ourselves from God? Why do we think God sometimes is more of an object than he is a being? Amen? God has the same feelings that you have, that I have. He wants his children home. He wants the rebellious child to come home, doesn't he? He wants all of his creation to be there with him and to share eternity with his son who he gave for each and every one of us. God is looking for you. Are you hiding from him? Are you avoiding because of some bad habit that you may have? Maybe you have an addiction. Maybe you have a horrible habit. Maybe you're down and out and you think, "Well, I could never be what God wants me to be because of this, 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 or this." As long as you're hiding under the habit, hiding under the addiction, standing behind whatever you want to stand behind, you're right. You're never going to go to God. But when you lift up your hands to Jesus Christ, when you say, "God, I'm as far as I can go, it is up to you, I'm surrendering myself to you, I'm going to respond to you, I'm going to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, upon my confession of faith, I'm going to make a change in my life, I'm going to start living for you and not for me," God will take us home. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? There is no repentant prayer. There is none of those things that you can read about that, or think about that some of our friends in the denominational sense says. There are some today that will mislead you by saying all you have to do is say, "Okay, Jesus, we hope that you'll just come into heart and we believe you got saved." That's not what the Bible says. And we're going to go by what the Scripture says. Amen? So I'm not going to beat those people up. I just feel sorry for those people because they're going to be held accountable for leading so many people in the wrong direction. The Bible tells us that we are going to hear God's word. Amen? We've got to hear it. You can't respond to it till you hear God's word. What does that mean? That means that the preachers today have a responsibility of preaching the oracles of God and quit trying to tickle the ears of so many people. I'm afraid today, brothers and sisters, that there are so many preachers out there today. I'm not supposed to be beating up on my buddies, but this is the reality. There's too many preachers out there preaching for a living and not for the teaching. Do you understand that? We've got to get back to preaching the oracles and the soul-saving word of God. Amen? And until we get back to that, nothing else is going to change. We're going to be right here watching people headed for that place called hell. We got to get to it. Listen to me when I tell you this. God is looking for you. Do you understand? Say it like you mean it. All right. So don't hide from God. It's time to put all that behind us. It's time to surrender to Almighty God. We're going to look at 3 points this morning, 3 things that we can consider as we talk about the title of our lesson, God is Looking for You. Is that all right with everybody? Your first point is this. God, listen to me, God is looking for the lost, those headed for hell. Do you understand? God is looking for the lost. Now, why do we think that the lost is always someone that has never come to know Christ? Why do we think that the lost is someone that uses really bad language and does this and this and this and this? I said a few moments ago, I'm afraid that there's going to be some Judgment Day surprises. There's going to be a lot of good people that we would measure as good people that's going to blow hell wide open. Do you understand that? Either we are with God or we are against God. Amen? Matthew 6:24 tells us we cannot serve two masters. We're going to be loyal to the one, despise the other. We'll despise the one. We'll be loving the other, etc., etc. The Bible tells us, Esther, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Do we get that? So we have to make a choice. Well, why, Jerry? That just doesn't make sense. Is there any proof of that? Absolutely. In the book of Revelation, there's a church called the Church of Laodicea. Anybody ever heard of that? Say amen if you have. Laodicea was a church that was a little bit, I got scratched that, I'm preaching wrong. That is a church that was a lot lukewarm, wasn't it? it was a lot. I shouldn't say a little bit. I'm putting one of those little facades on Courtney. I shouldn't be doing that. But this church was lukewarm. What did the Lord say about that? You're not hot. You're not cold. I wish you was either hot or cold, but because you're not, you're lukewarm. What'd he say, Heather? That's right. Heather nailed that. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. What does that mean? That means the Lord's shutting them down, doesn't it? He's rejecting them. God is looking, Brother Jerry, for a church today, his church. He's looking for a congregation that is loyal to him. He's looking for a congregation that's going to abide, Brother Larry, in his word. Not what I may think is right, not what you or Harvey says or what James Newberry says, but what God says. Amen? We've got to go and must go by what God says. He is the one that sent his son. You didn't. I didn't. He did. It was Jesus that died upon that cruel cross at Calvary. Not us. He did, didn't he? So we don't have the authority to make those decisions. We don't have the authority to add to and take away from the holy word of God. But we've got some of these knuckleheaded preachers out there today that call themselves preachers. They try to add to it or take away. You know why they do that? Let me not judging, just making an observation. We got those people out there today that's more worried about being a people pleaser than they are that of pleasing God. I've always said from the very first day that I became a minister of the gospel, if I am ever fired for preaching the truth, for preaching the oracles of God, that's the biggest compliment I'll ever receive. Amen? So we've got to preach it, brothers and sisters, not just a guy behind this wood. I've said this before, and some of y'all on Wednesday night laugh at me about doing that, and y'all aggravate me about it, and I think it's fun. We enjoy it. But every one of us are preachers, aren't we? You didn't like that too well. Let me drive that point a little bit tighter then. We're all preachers, amen? We're preaching something. Courtney and Chris preached something this morning, seriously speaking. They preached the importance of their neighbors that looked at them when it's going out. They preached that church attendance is extremely important, didn't they? They preached this morning that we love God and we're headed to assemble with the other Christians of the household of faith. That's what they preached. You preached this morning and said, okay, everybody, get up. It's time to go to church. Isn't that what we preached this morning? My wife got up this morning and said, hey, hurry up, Jerry. We're going to be late for Rob's class and you'll owe him a dollar because you and Rob are gambling. Oh, that wasn't supposed to say that. Never mind. The reality is, we preached this morning, didn't we, Paula? Teresa and Bobby just preached a lesson just now. And John, you did too, and everybody else did that's here today, that I am going to the worship services of the Lord. I'm preaching the importance of assembling together with the brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. So we're all preachers, amen? God is looking for you to continue your preaching. God is looking for you and for me to do what he's calling us to do. And our responses to what God says, I'm telling you, could send us to heaven or hell. Do we get that? So we need to make sure as accountable human beings that we're doing what God is calling us to do. I say accountable because sometimes we read about or we hear about and we read in a bulletin somewhere where the priest or somebody had sprinkled or baptized a baby. I don't baptize infants. I don't think anybody should because, number one, they're not accountable, are they? But we read about it all the time. Isn't it great that little Tootsie got baptized? No, it's not great that little Tootsie got baptized. Number one, what had she done wrong? Well, nothing. Well, so she repented of her sins? Is that what you're telling me about little Tootsie? No. Well, did she understand about the confession? Did she read about that? I know she's 2 months old, but did she read in Matthew 10, 32? No. Then why would you baptize something that's perfectly innocent? Amen. Now, that's somebody that's not accountable or someone that doesn't have the mental capacity to get it or to understand. Do we understand that? But accountable, one that knows right from wrong, one that knows to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, one that knows what the Bible says and how we should be living our life, you are accountable. I am accountable. Infants are not. The only thing that these infants know is when it's time for a diaper change and time to be fed. Amen? And that's why I'm glad that I was a dad and I hid every time that Jerry Jr. needed that. I could tell by the cry. Paula would say, why do you disappear every time? Let me say this. I'm not trying to be mean right here in the pulpit. I changed one diaper and it wasn't a wet one and that was all it took. And when Paula cleaned up my mess and his mess, she said, never again. I can't do it. I gagged and I gagged and I gagged. Anyway, back to the lesson. And why I shared that with you, I have no clue. Oh, help us, Jesus. Okay. Anyway, we know that God is looking for the lost. Why is it that God is looking so earnestly for the lost? I tell you because he's got a big vested interest in it. Do you understand that? If you look over my left shoulder, Chris, and over my right shoulder, You're going to see two passages, or you're going to see the passage of Scripture on each side. I'm going to ask the congregation once again to share in that with me. We're going to look at John 3:16. You're not going to be able to cheat on 17, so I hope you got your little things with you. Well, let's do it together. Here's why God is looking for you. Are y'all ready? For God... For God sent not His Son into the to condemn the world. The world for Him might be what? There, very good. Now, you think we ought to go over to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. What, are y'all interested in that? The Bible says, but God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, come on, Christ died for us. Now are you seeing why there's such an interest in you and me, James? Because it was God that sent His only begotten Son. Well, why don't we go back to a passage we don't look at too often? Why don't we go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, where the Scripture says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name. Well, let's look at the reason. For He will save His people from what? Their sins. Go to 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall conceive, be with a child, bear a son. You shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated, give me the next three words, God with us. Isn't it nice today that God is with us through His Son, Jesus Christ? That's pretty pathetic. Isn't it nice today to know that God is with us through His Son, Jesus Christ? Amen. Three people responded to that. Are you that sleepy, or do you want me to start all over? Remember, I had cinnamon life and regular life, and I blended them again. You remember I told you this last week, didn't I? I still got those last two, that last little bit. That's a good deal. I took part of the regular life, part of the cinnamon life, blend together, and Paula had bought me yesterday. I got great news. No, I didn't say 15% by switching to Geico. But I've got great news. She blended chocolate Cheerios in there as well. I ate two full bowls, so I'm not hungry, so I'm willing to just keep on going. I'll be hungry in about 10 minutes. Okay. All right, so we understand that God is looking for us. He's looking for the lost. Why? Because He's got a big vestment, doesn't He? Yes or no? I have to ask this question. Why would anyone in the world, listen to me, why would any accountable human being put Jesus Christ off? Why would we do that? Why would we, when we know what Jesus is telling us to do, when we know what God is calling us to do, why would we keep putting Him off when we know the penalty for sin? Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? It's death. That's going to be the consequence. Not a physical death that's promised by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 9:27, but a spiritual death, the death that has a sting to it, where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of what? Of teeth. So, God is looking for the lost. Yes or no? Stop playing games. Game over. You lose without God, but you are a winner with God. Amen. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. And Jesus says, I'll give you the crown of life. And if you think about James chapter 4, down around verse 8, the Bible tells us, draw near unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Isn't that a beautiful promise that we have in His Word? That we know where God is. He knows where we are. He's looking for you and me to respond to Him. The second point I want us to examine today is this. God is looking for you and me to worship Him and to forsake not, listen to me, forsake not the worship service. Here he goes again. Jerry Ladd's still talking about that. I will talk about it until the building is packed. Amen? Well, you're preaching to the choir. Well, I am preaching to the choir because you have a responsibility to go out and to teach this to other people, don't we? So if we hear it over and over and over, it becomes second nature to us, doesn't it? We don't want second nature. It needs to be our first nature, doesn't it? Because it's the nature of God. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to continue to talk about this so that I'm reminded, Jerry Ladd Sr. is reminded, every day to invite somebody to the services. I'm reminded every day to try to encourage the one that has a sniffle or their toenails bent back or whatever the situation is. And maybe we're having a little rash on my elbow so I can't make it in. But we can still go to work every day. We can still go to restaurants every day. We can still go out and cut grass every day. We can still do this. We can go out and work on a car. We can wash it. We can wax it. And we can buff it. But no, we can't make it to church service. Y'all getting the picture? Okay. Not being mean, just being truthful. But God expects us, and He wants us, and He's looking for us to worship Him and forsake not His assembly. John 14:15, I'm going to speed up a little bit. John 14:15, the Bible says, if you love me, Keep my commandments. What does that mean? Obey. Oh, I like that. Obey him. Plain and simple. So you heard it correctly. Jesus says, if you love me, do what I'm telling you to do. If we look at Hebrews 10:25, he tells us what to do. He says, don't forsake the assembly. Is that what he's saying? Yes. He's very clearly by the Hebrew writer, do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. God is looking for you to be in the worship service. Yes or no? Yes. Please don't forget what God tells us in John 4:24. The Bible says God is spirit and those who worship him must, thank you, Bobby, thank you, must worship, not ought to, not could, but must worship in spirit and in truth. So listen, for all that God has done for you, for all that he's done for me, why would we not be so excited about coming together to assemble with the saints? Amen. Why would so many people let other things come before our worship to him? Friends, it is a joy. It is excitement. I've never used drugs or alcohol. I don't have to. I'm not beating you up if that's what you do. That's up to you. But my high comes from coming together. My high comes, I get full of joy and excitement. I get all hyped up. It takes me 2 days to calm down after I leave here. And by Wednesday, I'm in trouble again, so I need to get right back here. But my joy comes from here. My excitement comes from here. My nutrition that keeps my spiritual body alive comes from right here, assembling with the saints. Amen. Fellowship one with the other. When I come in and I'm not feeling good, it's nice to know that somebody says, Jerry, it's going to be okay. It's nice somebody says, Jerry, we're going to be praying for you. And I walk in, if Ashley's got a tear or something in her eye, I can hug her and tell her, hey, we're going to be praying for you and your grandparents and so on. It's nice to have that fellowship, isn't it? Two people love everybody. The other ones could not care any less. Okay? But it's a joy. It's a joy to lift our voices in songs, Ephesians 5:19. It is a joy to go to the Lord in prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a joy to give back to the Lord as we have been prospered, yes or no? 1 Corinthians 16:2. It is a joy to partake and to be right here and partake of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20:7. It is a joy for me to remember. It's not a joy for me to remember what he went through, but it's a joy for me to remember why he went through what he did, amen? And Jesus did that for me, a sinner, a worm like me. If he did it for me, brothers and sisters, he did it for you. Do we understand that? Jesus died for me and you. Why then would we keep pushing him away over and over and over? I think about what also this, I think we are to come together, not think, I know we should, because of what Paul told young Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 down in verse 2 about preaching the word. He said, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, didn't he? He said, convince, rebuke, exhort, all long suffering and teaching. Then he goes a little bit further. If you drop down, he goes a little further and says, here's the reason I'm telling you this, boy. He says, because these people are going to heap up for themselves teachers. Well, why are they going to do that? Because they got itching ears. They got an ear infection, don't they? And it's not an infection like amoxicillin is going to cure. It's an infection that only the scriptures can cure. Amen? So we got to make sure that we're on top of this, brothers and sisters. Make sure that we understand that God is looking for you, me, to worship him and to forsake not his assembly. Go quickly to the book of Psalm 100. I'm not leaving without this part. And you're not either because I got the button pushed. You can't get out. For the saved, listen, for the saved, the Christian has so much to be thankful for. The results of all of God's blessings should be our complete gratitude unto him, shouldn't it? We should have full gratitude for God for what he's done for each and every one of us. Let's think about the joy. Let's think about this psalm of thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Are we all there? Psalm 100 verses 1 through 5, are we there? Make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with, come on, go with me, go. Gladness. Come before his presence with what? Know that the Lord, he is who? It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and we're the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with what, brothers and sisters? With thanksgiving. Very good. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures all. Thank you, Heather. All generations. It's not going to end. God is looking for you. Join hands with God. Amen. Be part of that place called heaven, his love, and it will endure forever and ever. He's looking for you and me to worship Him. So I know that you agree with me this morning, or I feel confident that you agree with me this morning, that it is a blessing for you and me to be given the opportunity to worship and to serve our awesome God. Is that about right? I'm getting ready to close here in just a second. But you're going to need to listen. I want you to think about something for a moment. Do we agree that God is looking for you and He's looking for me? Mm-hmm. He's looking for everyone to worship Him. Are you in agreement? He's not looking for just the really good guy and the really good girl. That's not who He's looking for only. God is looking today. Listen, He's looking today for the adulterer that's out there today. He's looking for the adulterer to stop practicing that sin and to come back to the fold of safety, isn't He? He's looking for the one that is committing unfaithfulness, not just maybe to your wife, but we're talking about spiritual unfaithfulness, spiritual adultery as well. Amen? He's looking for that adulterer to come back. He's looking for the fornicator to come into the church, isn't He? We send back sometimes and we're so judgmental. Oh, no, I know the life he lives. He can't come in here. Well, who do you think needs the place? It is the sinner. It is the sick. This is a hospital, brothers and sisters. You keep calling it a church of Christ. It is a hospital for the sick people. It is a place that's preparing us so that we can live forever with God. Amen? Somebody said this morning, this is boot camp. I heard somebody say that the other day. This is boot camp. That's exactly what this is. Preparing us for that great journey, that home that's been prepared for us in heaven. He wants the adulterer. He wants the fornicator. He wants the drunkard. God is looking for the one that has fallen from grace. He's looking for the sinner that is dying in his sin. In Acts chapter 17, down in verse 30, the Bible tells us that one time God overlooked ignorance, but now commandeth man everywhere to do what? That's right, Bobby, to repent. God is looking for you and me. You know why? Because He created us in whose image? Harvey, whose image? His image. Very good. God created us for a reason, and that reason is so that we may live our life to glorify God in everything that we say and everything that we do, making sure that we're doing what He is calling us to do. The third and final point, our third point is going to also involve the conclusion. So I'm not going to drag it through a little bit extra. I'm just going to give you that this morning. But here's a third and final point. This lesson will go home with you. Christ is looking for you and me to fulfill the Great Commission. Did you know that? How many of us knows it? Okay. So He's looking for you and me to fulfill the Great Commission. That means this, that when you are baptized into the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, you accepted the responsibility to live your life as a Christian. Is that right? And your life as a Christian is to be that walking testimony. Your life as a Christian should be that you are now an ambassador of Christ. You are a spokesperson for Christ. You are to live your life according to what the Bible says, so that you can represent Jesus. Is that right? Huge responsibility. Huge responsibility. But I promise you, there is nothing any more rewarding than that of living a life for Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, go make disciples of all the nations. Then He goes on and jumps down a couple of verses and says, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always for how long? There you go, Chris. Good job. Even to the end of age. And then over in 1 Corinthians 15:58, I'm afraid that this is happening throughout the brotherhood. There are preachers today that's getting tired. Did you know that? There's elders today that's getting tired. There's deacons today that's getting tired. There's song leaders today that's getting tired. There are people today that are getting tired. You know why? Because we probably have taken our eyes off God. We've kind of lost focus, and we let what people say drive us into where we're going to go next. Nope, not happening. I choose God. You remember that lesson? Not all of y'all remembered it. Then repeat it with me. I choose God. You just saved yourself a long sermon. Okay, so sometimes these people grow weary, and they shouldn't. Paul was talking to the church at Corinth about that over in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Larry, thank you for catching that. I had 2 Corinthians 15:58. That's what happens when you're eating those little Smarties, and it made me not as smart that Velma gave me. By the way, Velma, you need to know how many Smarties is in each pack. If you don't know that, then you're not a real trooper. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Very good. Mark 16:15 and 16 is also our responsibility. The Bible says, go out and make disciples. Is that what it says? All right? It says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be saved. There you go. As we close this morning, by now you know that God is looking for you. He is looking for you and me to continue our faithfulness unto him for those that are Christians. God is looking for those today that are not Christians. Understand that. He's looking for you today if you're not a Christian. He's looking for you to slap the devil right smack dab in his face, kick him out of your life, and put God in your life. Amen? All right. We need to lift up our hands to the Lord and let him deliver us. God is looking for the prodigal, the one that has wandered off from the fold of safety. I don't know what in the world's wrong, but you better get on back here. Amen? Get on back here. That's some good Woodbine talk. The one that left the fold of safety now gone back into the world. Those that have fallen back in the trap that Satan has set, you better get out of that trap and come on back while you still have a chance. Yes or no? If you're not a Christian at this moment, God is looking for you to become one. Here's how you do it. You hear his word. You believe his word. You repent of your sins. You make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Upon that confession of faith, you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And then we are to live our life faithful even unto and into what? Death. And then we always need to remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you've already become a Christian. You were baptized maybe years ago. But you realize, well, you know, I'm not living my life the way I should. I want to get things right. I know God's looking for me. I'm always looking for God too because he's always delivering me. And you just need the prayers of the congregation. Let us pray with you and help you and encourage you any way that we can. You're invited to come right now as together we stand and sing.